Hopefully you've lost your breath a bit with some of those songs. Isn't it great to sing these beautiful carols speaking amazing truths about what happened 2,000 years ago? Look, I extend a warm welcome to you and a Merry Christmas. My name's Damon, one of the leaders here at Albany Baptist Church, and it's my pleasure to open up God's Word with you today. In fact, the key verses we're looking at are painted on the wall. So if you don't have your Bible, you can look up there. Look, we're going to be reflecting on the good news of Christmas, the good news about a Saviour who takes us from fear to joy, from fear to joy. So let's pray and we'll get stuck in. Father, we praise you for your Son who you sent. We thank you for the joy of Christmas, the incarnation, God in flesh. And as we come to your Word and reflect on these words of the angels to the shepherds, may these words resound in our hearts too. May we go away praising and glorifying you just as these shepherds did. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, if you're a shepherd 2,000 years ago, the only way you got news was by word of mouth. But for us, it's a bit different, isn't it? Got news on our phones, on the TV, on the internet. And yesterday morning, even someone threw some news at my door, wrapped up in plastic and paper. News is everywhere. Think about it, we've got bad news. In fact, we heard some bad news from in Albany just the other day. There's fake news. There's choose your own adventure news and go down whatever algorithm Google sends you down and you can just stay in your own little echo chamber, all that you like and believe whatever you like. It's amazing. And haven't we all been affected by the news these last couple of years? I mean, just think for a moment. When you hear bad news, what does it do to us? I don't know if I've heard bad news. It can make us sad, right? Your team lost. She said no. The cancer is back. The borders are shut. They didn't make it. Bad news makes us grieve, and rightfully so. And bad news can also make us scared, can't it? I was thinking they may as well just name the nightly news, you know, the Be Afraid, Be Very Afraid News Hour. You know, what did we do a few years ago when we all got scared? We went and stocked up on toilet paper. I'll let you draw the connection between being scared and toilet paper. In fact, I've still got a few boxes in the shed. If anyone needs any, just come and chat. Just joking. Now, there's also bad news which can make us prepared. In fact, more than that now, but it was after, you remember that Boxing Day tsunami? I think it was 2006. Terrible tsunami up in Indonesia, Thailand and so on. But a few years after that, my sister was in Thailand and while she was holidaying there, there was another large earthquake. And this time, the news came through. The warning sirens went off, things blaring. And what did people do? They ran. They got to high ground and up in high buildings. They got prepared for what they thought was going to be a tsunami coming. Thankfully, it didn't eventuate. But what if there was a news story which moved us permanently from a state of fear to one of joy? Not as a momentary up and down swing of emotion, but as a settled way of life. A good news story which actually saved you. That if you believed and trusted in would change your life and destiny forever. Well, that is what is on offer at Christmas. And why is this news of Christmas so good? Well, it's because the bad news is really bad. See, the bad news of the Bible, or the bad news which the Bible tells us about ourselves and our world, it's meant to make us sad. It's meant to make us scared. But it's actually meant to make us prepared to go, what do I need to do to make a change? It's the sort of prepared as if you knew a tsunami was coming. What would you do? You'd find a way to safety. And the bad news of the Bible is this, that a catastrophe has happened to the human race. We are cut off from our Creator. There's a barrier between us and God, and it's called sin. And from our head to our hearts to our hands, We live like little gods as if God doesn't exist. Even though he gives us life and breath and everything we have and are. And quite literally, there's going to be hell to pay for this treason against heaven. We live, we die, and then we'll stand before God at the judgment. There is a tsunami coming, and if we do not get to safety, we'll all be swept away. Now, I'm guessing the shepherds in the fields that night knew a thing or two about this. And what I don't think is a coincidence is that these shepherds were probably looking after the sheep, which were going to be ending up at the temple as sacrifices. So get that there. They're looking after the sheep that are going to end up at the temple as sacrifices. Now, sacrifices, what, why on earth would I bring that up at Christmas time? Who is this guy? What is a sacrifice about? Well, God had revealed in the Old Testament to the people of Israel that there was one way you could get back into a right relationship with God. One way you could get close again to God, and it's through a sacrifice. See, someone has to pay for sin. It's either our blood or the blood of another. And the sacrifice was a way for the people to have a substitute, something or someone else to die in their place so they could be forgiven and set free. See, the bad news of the Bible is meant to make us long for a solution, to make us long for a savior. See, the sheep sacrifices, they didn't cut it. They could never cut it. A better sacrifice was needed. One which could deal with sin and judgment and give forgiveness and life once and for all. And now we see when that bad news is the backdrop, we see why the good news of Christmas is so amazing. In fact, we read, what does God do? God sends the message via a news anchor who lives in the very presence of this God we have spurned. I mean, think about this. This angel is an incredible being and a warrior of light who only and always does the will of God. And God sends him with a message to give to some lowly shepherds outside a little town at the edge of society to deliver the news story of the ages. Heaven's solution to humanity's problem. And his news report starts with these words: do not be afraid. Do not be afraid. Or in other words, I haven't come to destroy you guys. Now, this is the news anchor we need to listen to. Do not be afraid. I bring you good news that will cause great joy for all the people. Today in the town of David, a Savior has been born to you. He is the Messiah, the Lord. This will be a sign to you. You will find a baby wrapped in cloths and lying in a manger. Well, heaven has sent the antidote to the venom, the cure to the cancer, the key to the locked door, the waymaker to the trapped, the helicopter rescue to high ground, the way from death to life, from fear to joy, and he's come in the package of a little baby. Not what you would expect. And this baby is the Savior, the Messiah or Christ, the Lord, which is, his name means quite literally, the Savior King who is God. This little baby, he's the Savior King who is God. And what's amazing is that when God rocks up, it's not with the drawn sword and with the armies in heaven in tow to deliver the tsunami of justice that we deserve. He comes as a little infant, weak, vulnerable, oh so human, to deliver tender love and mercy. That is what the God of the universe is like. And we read on, verse 13. Suddenly a great company of the heavenly host appeared with the angel, praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest heaven, and on earth peace to those on whom his favor rests." Sort of like to prove the point that God's not coming with destruction, but salvation, the angelic army of heaven are revealed to the shepherds just for a brief moment. They're always there, but the shepherds for a brief moment get to see them. And instead of drawing their bows or they're raising their rifle to destroy sinful humanity, what are they doing? They're having a praise party. They're having a praise party about the miracle that God would be born a little baby to come and save us. Now, where else in the Bible do you see this picture of all these heavenly hosts praising God? Well, it's in Revelation, isn't it? John's vision in Revelation, we get this, again, a picture of what's going on all the time. And all the angelic beings are around God's throne, surrounding him, who is at the center of all things, and they're worshiping and praising him. And now here they are, worshiping God the Son around his manger throne on earth. And they're also inviting us to do the same. I mean, all these words here are amazing, aren't they? Glory, peace, favor, grace. Remind, we just sung the words, didn't we? Peace on earth and mercy mild, God and sinners reconciled. And you've got to ask, why would God offer joy and peace to the very beings that have spurned him and made themselves his enemies? Why? It's because of love. It's because of love. It's because God is a father who loves his wayward sons and daughters, and he would send his perfect son, Jesus, the Savior King who is God, to rescue us. We don't deserve it. We couldn't earn it. But still, he gives his son away to make peace, to bring us back to himself because of love. And do you see the connection that just as those sheep in the fields were born for sacrifice, so this little baby, Jesus, was born to become a sacrifice for you and for me. See, those sheep would one day end up at the temple with a knife at their throat. And this baby would become a man with nails piercing his hands and a spear through his side to do what a billion sheep could never do: take away the sins of the world. To die in our place, to save us all. See, we need Christmas to be true because doesn't our world need a Savior to clean up the mess? And we need a Savior to clean up our mess. One who can bring us from death to life, from darkness to light, from fear to everlasting joy. We read on, verse 15. When the angels had left them and gone into heaven, the shepherds said to one another, "Let's go to Bethlehem and see this thing that has happened, which the Lord has told us about." So they hurried off and found Mary and Joseph and the baby who was lying in the manger. When they'd seen him, they spread the word concerning what had been told them about this child, and all who heard it were amazed at what the shepherds said to them. And verse 20, the shepherds returned glorifying and praising God for all the things they had heard and seen, which were just as they had been told. So this news invites us to do what the shepherds did. Go and see Jesus ourselves. And when we meet Jesus, what happened to the shepherds happens to us. His glory and his praise fills our hearts and our lives. Fear gives way to joy when Jesus is at the center. Fear gives way to joy when Jesus is at the center of your life. Now, if you haven't yet met this Savior King who is God, Jesus, can I encourage you to be like the shepherds? To come and see, to come and check out Jesus for yourself, find out if what I'm saying is true. Grab a Bible. In fact, I've got a few Bibles I'm going to give away if you want one. Come and grab one. Come and check it out for yourself. Grab a Christian. Find out why you need to trust in Jesus. Come and chat to me or someone you know. In fact, you can even jump on our church app, which you can download. And there's a little option there that says, I'd like to meet up with someone to talk about Jesus. Only one life will soon be passed, dear friends. Only one life. It'll soon be over. And good Christians fear for sinners here. The silent word is pleading. See, the message started with the angels. But now the shepherds are heaven's news anchors, aren't they, in this passage? And who else gets to be heaven's news anchors? You and me. We're now entrusted with this message from heaven that the Savior King, who is God, has come, and we've been entrusted with it to take it out to all the world. And in fact, there are still 3 billion people on this planet who have never actually heard this good news. That's a task to be dealt with. And finally, if you are filled with all sorts of fears and anxieties this Christmas time, can I encourage you to turn to Jesus afresh, to seek him afresh? He's no longer a baby or a man on a cross. He's a resurrected and ascended King of all the universe. Come and see. Align your heart and life with the anthem of heaven, where Jesus is at the center. And may you find in him again the joy of the Holy Spirit, which nothing can ever take away. Well, I just want to give us a few moments now, just quietly, individually, to respond before God. If you haven't yet responded to Jesus and given your life to him, this could be a time you go, God, I don't know exactly what this means, but I need to see Jesus. I need to understand this message. Open this up to me. Maybe there's fears and things going on in your life that you need to bring them to Jesus. Lay them at his feet. Cast all your burdens and anxieties on him because he cares for you. And afresh, say, Jesus, I want you at the center. I want you at the center. Let's spend a few moments now praying, and I'll close off for us in prayer. Father, with the angels, we want to say glory to you in the highest heaven. Praise be to you that you sent your Son, King and God and sacrifice, to bring us back to you. Help us to join our lives and hearts with the anthem of the angels and center our affections, desires, and entire being on King Jesus. In his name we pray. Amen.